welcome to the Mint Podcast, where we dive deep into God's Word and discuss practical ways to live it out. This season, we're doing real talk about how we can contend for breakthrough in the most difficult and painful parts of our story. I can't wait to see what God, the commander of heaven's armies, is going to do as we press into him. If you want more of what you hear on the show, there are additional free resources, merchandise, and donation opportunities available at amintageisler.com. We're a listener-funded podcast, and we appreciate your support so much. Let's go run the race. Well, welcome to the show. I'm so excited that you're here because we are about to launch into another new series called Joshua. And I love this series because we are going to dive deep into the book of Joshua. And I'm not talking the Sunday school story. I'm talking we are going to dive deep and we are going to discover all that God has to us when it comes to fighting spiritual battles. So hang on, friends. Let's pray and let's get going. Heavenly Father, Lord of heaven's armies, we come before you today, and we are so thankful and we're so grateful for who you are. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. There is nobody like you, no one above you, nobody beside you. And for that, we give you praise. In these next few minutes, Lord, we humbly ask you to give us eyes that can see you, ears that can hear you, and hearts that are courageous enough to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, as we are setting up to record, the wind in my backyard is so crazy and it is blowing so strongly that is literally rattling the windows and the doors on my house. And we're getting set up and there was a big gust and he said, "What was that?" And I'm like, "The wind," because it sounded like somebody came into the house. But what's so interesting about the wind along the river, and why I'm telling you this, is because it's a beautiful spot, right? It is so peaceful to look out and see the water gently flowing by. It's beautiful. But one thing about living on the river where my house is that it's always windy. I can name maybe 3 or 4 days in the 2 years that we've lived here that it has not been windy. There's always a wind. And sometimes it's a nice gentle breeze. Sometimes we're thankful for it. But some days like today, it is so gusty and it's so strong that out in it, it feels like you can't hardly stand. You can hardly get your breath. It'll take your breath away. It blows so hard that it's miserable to be outside. You can't even hear somebody when you're trying to talk to them. And it's exhausting. And towards the end of summer, I remember saying to Ben, "I'm so tired of the wind. It's so strong. I'm sick of battling it. I just want to be outside and not have to battle the wind." And the reason I'm sharing that is because sometimes the faith journey is like that when we're up in a spiritual battle. And some days it's not as tough and we can go about our business. Some days the battle rages around us so strong, it's so hard, it's been going for so many days in a row that we are weary and we find ourselves saying, "I'm sick of it, I'm tired of it, I don't want this wind anymore, I'm tired of it, I'm tired of the fight." And friends, if that is you this morning, I just want to say, I am with you. We are in the boat together and we are going to lock arms and we are going to dive into God's word and we're going to face this together. And we have victory over the wind. That's what I'll say. We have victory over the enemy. And so often, I think as Christians, we are walking our faith journey and we don't even remember or realize the battles that we're facing are spiritual. And scripture is so clear about this point. And I'm just going to read you a couple verses. Ephesians 6:10 says, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." And so often we lose sight of this because we can't see it happening. We lose sight of this and the enemy becomes the things we can see and the things that are in this world and of this world. And so it's just a good reminder that, friend, the battle you're facing, there is a spiritual component to it. And sometimes we're not experiencing breakthrough because we're fighting a spiritual battle in the physical realm. We're fighting the wrong battle. We've got to lift our eyes and we've got to start fighting a spiritual battle instead of doing everything we can in the physical realm. 1 Peter 5:8-9 agrees with this. And it says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember, your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. Man, we have an enemy who's coming after us, and we forget that sometimes. Sometimes it feels like it's literally our coworker, or it's our neighbor, or it's our spouse, or it's our health, whatever it is, and we get so angry at that thing. Instead of remembering the enemy of our souls is the one who is engaged with us. So no matter what battle you're facing, my friends, there is a spiritual component to it. And the evil one is attempting to overthrow you, to wear you down, and make you give up. And he'd love nothing more than to see you get angry at God or decide to try to do things your own way. So he's fighting as hard as he can. And it's time that we learn, I think, some practical ways that we can fight back. So that's what we're going to do. So as we start this episode, I just want you to think about in your mind, what are some of the challenges you're currently facing? And have you thought about them as a spiritual battle? Or do you really feel like you're fighting just a real earthly physical battle? So I just want you to think about that for a minute. The difficult things in your life, the areas of contention, the things that are wearing you down, the patterns that keep coming up, the behaviors you wish would go away. Have you thought about that in the sense of it being a spiritual battle? Because the battle's real. And as soldiers fighting a battle, we must be aware of what we're facing and have an understanding of our own strengths and weaknesses, right? So soldiers, they train. And they shore up their camps and they have all the right gear and they have their weapons and they go through intense times of training so that they are strengthened and they are prepared and they are ready to fight. So one of the things and one of the blessings that comes to us from being in the Word of God is that God can help prepare us and he can help strengthen us and he can help outfit us and he can reveal what our weaknesses are to us. So that we are more prepared to fight. Because let me tell you what, the enemy knows your strengths and your weaknesses. And what's so ironic is sometimes we don't even know our own weaknesses. We're so busy living life that we don't know where our weaknesses are. And this is what happened to me. And I have shared the story recently on my podcast, how I got that word from the Lord spoken to me by somebody else that said, Minta, you know, you've given up contending for your healing. And I was like, what? What do you mean I've given up? Man, I didn't even know I had a weakness. And as I pressed into scripture, as I pressed into the story of Joshua, the Lord revealed something to me. And he revealed that I had a weakness in battle and it was weariness. I'm tired. This battle has been raging in my life for over 10 years, and I'm exhausted. And just like a soldier who's out on the front lines for days at a time, they hit that mental exhaustion point where things start to go awry and they need a rest and they need to come off the front lines and they need to rest so they can be made ready for battle. Man, the Lord showed me, Minta, that's where you're at. And so I needed to understand that was a weakness going on in my life, that I was weary and I was giving up and it was letting me become kind of jagged and bitter about it all, and that I needed a rest. And so it's important that we know what our weaknesses are. And it can come in many forms. And most of them happen by accident without intention. I mean, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I think I want to be weak and put myself at a spiritual disadvantage with the enemy today. We don't do that. It happens by accidents and usually slowly over time so we don't notice it. And that's why it's imperative that we just take a minute and we pray and ask the Lord for wisdom and discernment. And so here's a list of weaknesses. And I want you just to say, you know, quietly to yourself, Holy Spirit, show me. Do I have any of these weaknesses as a soldier in your army? And the first one is this, self-sufficiency. Ooh, our culture would say it's a strength to be independent and to want to do things on your own. But what happens when we have the weakness of self-sufficiency is that we start to fight in our own strength and we forget where the real power of victory comes from. And instead of viewing our battles as spiritual, we fight them merely in the physical realm and we try to conquer our circumstance or our symptoms. And we'll go to even extreme measures and we'll strive to find the cause and we'll search frantically for answers. And we'll just throw mud at the wall until something sticks. And out of pride, we try to do it on our own instead of asking the Lord to enter into the battle and to help us. Now, the second thing is weariness. I've talked about I have that, and it's you kind of start to give up because it's been too long and you've grown tired of it. So you just stop asking. You know, one of the things that happens is when you wake up every day and ask the Lord for something and you hope and you wait expectantly for it and you don't get it, this feeling of rejection comes. Because it's like, Lord, are you not hearing me? Am I not praying it right? What is going on? What's standing in the way? And we get weary and we get hurt. And then sometimes we just give up hoping. It steals our hope and our joy when we have that. And because the longer victory takes, the more rejected we feel by God. Okay, one of the third weakness is fear. Dun, dun, dun. Now this monster takes a foothold and it clouds our judgment. And we become so wrapped up in the ropes of what ifs and where is this going? And I don't see how it's ever going to get fixed. And this is too big of a problem that we can't even breathe. We can't even think straight. Fear blinds us to the power and the goodness and the sovereignty of God. And it makes us feel vulnerable to the things that are out of our control. We forget, fear makes us forget how big God is and that he's in control and sovereign. The fear hijacks that and it makes itself bigger than where we've placed God's power. The fourth weakness is that we are untrained. Okay, just hear me out. Most of us have maybe never been taught how to fight in the spiritual realm. If I were to ask you, how do you fight a spiritual battle? Would you know what to say other than get on my knees? Right? We all know we should pray, but do you know there's other things you can do to take ground and strengthen yourself and fortify yourself, so to speak, against the enemy? And for most people, this is just a weird and uncomfortable topic. We don't talk about it at church very much. Hey, how are you doing fighting those demons? Hey, how are you doing fighting in the spiritual realm? And it just gets too woohooey and uncomfortable feeling, and people don't want to talk about it, about really putting on our spiritual armor and fighting. And so we are unarmed. We're not ready. We haven't prepared. And the bummer is that the enemy is prepared and he is ready. And so we too need to gird up our loins, for lack of a better way to say it. We got to get ready. We got to train. And then finally, experience. Past experience can be a weakness, because if we perceive that we have suffered defeat, it causes us to project that defeat into the future. And what we understand as lost or failure can wreck havoc on our perception of the current battle we're facing, right? If you've been sick a long time and you might feel like, man, there is no way I can win, and we don't even try and fight because we lose sight of the fact that victory is already ours through the power of Jesus, right? The battle's won, but we feel we're stuck in this defeat. And when you feel defeated, then you don't tend to want to rise up and fight because you don't believe it's possible, because you've already experienced what you think is defeat. Right? And scripture tells us that God works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes for him. And so we know he can use those defeats ultimately for his good. And if you're old enough, you're nodding your head yes, because you know that the times in your life where you have failed or lost are the times where you've probably grown the most. But it's easy to let that get in our head and keep us from wanting to fight. Well, I've lost before. Why even fight now? So just think about that, lay that before the Lord and ask him, man, are there any weaknesses that I have in my heart when it comes to fighting battles? Lord, reveal them to me. And now I want to just stop right here and say that before you feel too discouraged, like maybe you're sitting there going, oh, I think I have a little bit of all of those things. Me too. But before you get discouraged, here's the best news of all. Victory is yours in your spiritual battle because of the commander of your army. That's right. Victory is yours. So you can take a deep breath. You can smile. It's okay that you have weaknesses. It's okay if you fall short, because you are a warrior for the Most High God. You are under the command of the Lord of Heaven's armies, and he does not lose. He will not fail. And what am I talking about, this Lord of Heaven's armies? Well, in the Old Testament, one of the ways that God was revealed to his people is as Jehovah Sabaoth, or the Lord of the armies. And this name is used over 300 times in scripture to depict a God who's sovereign over heaven and earth and over every single spiritual battle. Okay? So I want you to think about this as a new aspect of God. Maybe you've not thought about before or focused on before. The Lord reveals himself in scripture as a commander of the armies. And it is the armies of angels in heaven. And has victory in the spiritual realm. He has victory in the earthly realm. But so often we think of God as creator. We think of him as all-knowing. We think of him as our friend. We think of him as our father. Do you know you serve a God who is a commander of an army? And he has victory. You serve a God who shows up, who reveals himself as the victorious commander. You are on the winning team. We can take a deep breath. Though you feel like the battle you're facing is too big, the commander you serve has never lost, and he's not going to start with you. Now, in the Old Testament, one of the my favorite stories where God has revealed himself this way and where his name is used in this way is 1 Samuel. And it's when Hannah appeals to God and she's begging him. She is in the temple and she is praying and she is so heartbroken because for years she's been barren and unable to have children. And she's been mocked. She's been ridiculed. She's an outcast. It is the desire of her heart. It hasn't happened yet. And we see here that there is a spiritual component to this battle that she's facing. She is on her knees. And the scripture in 1 Samuel says that she is in so much distress that when Eli the priest comes, he thinks she's drunk because she's so distressed and she's crying out. And I have had moments in the last year where I probably sounded the same way because my inner pain was so present that when I cried, it was like ugly crying, right? And so this was Hannah. And it says this in 1 Samuel, verse 10, Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, I will give him back to you and he will be yours for his entire lifetime. Isn't that interesting? She's asking for a son. She doesn't appeal to God the Father. She doesn't appeal to God the Provider. She doesn't appeal to God who's peace. She appeals to the Lord of heaven's armies. There's a spiritual component to her battle. And she must have understood that. And she appeals to God in this way. And she's her allegiance to the commander of the Lord of heaven's armies, right? Her appeal to him is that if you will grant this wish, I'll give him back to you. We see her allegiance. And what I love about this story, and the reason that I shared it, is because it's really easy to think of God as the commander of heaven's armies and think of it as, well, he's going to fight the big battles and he's going to help and intervene at the war with Israel. And he's going to, you know, fight the, he's got the myriads of angels, legions of angels at his fingertips. This is about the big battles. But here we read a story where he cares about one woman. And he shows up to fight in her battle, one person. The Lord of Heaven's armies, yes, is victorious over the biggest battles in the world, but he knows your name and he's able to help fight your battle. Hannah's response a year later when she comes back and she has indeed had a son is, my heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. She's referring to this battle again. I rejoice because you've rescued me. No one is holy like the Lord. There's no one beside you. There's no rock like our God. Amen. God fights for us and he's able to win despite our weaknesses. So even if we're a mess like Hannah and people think we're drunk because we're in such distress, the Lord of heaven's armies knows us and he shows up to fight our personal battles. Now, Moses, he experienced the same kind of rescue when there seemed to be no way to evade the impending attack from Pharaoh. So he consoles the people in Exodus 14, and he says this, the Lord will fight for you. Just stay calm. He understands what's at stake, and he did. And God's great glory was displayed as the Israelites crossed the Red Sea onto dry ground, and every single Egyptian adversary was drowned. And that battle was found in such a way that all who saw it were filled with awe for the commander of heaven's armies. And here's what they sang. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God and I will praise him. My father's God and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, smashes the enemy. See, the Israelites understood who the Lord of heaven's armies was. God is the one, friends, who will lead us to victory in the heat of our spiritual battles, especially when it seems like there's no way for us to win. Now, Paul, in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy 4, verses 17 through 18, he recounts how he was abandoned by all his friends. And here's what he had to say. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from certain death. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every spiritual attack and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever. Amen. See, Paul was standing before the king, before the courts. He was on trial, but he knew his battle was spiritual. And he trusted that God was going to be able to win it and bring him safely home. Friends, that same God is more than able to win your battle too, even if you have weakness. Even if you want to give up, even if you haven't been trained, even if the battle feels too big, even if you can't see a way, the Lord of Heaven's armies is with you, giving you all the power you need to walk in victory over the darkness in your life. You serve the great and holy commander. You are a warrior in his army, and God wants to partner with you to conquer the enemy, and he's ready. And he's eager to display his goodness and his power through you. And so it's time for us to fall in line and stand at attention and get trained. Are you ready? I'm so excited because for the rest of this series, we are going to examine the story of Joshua and the Israelites entering the promised land. And so today, I just want to talk a little bit about who this Joshua guy was. Who are we going to learn from? And then the rest of the series, we're going to dive into the Lord showing up. And my hope is that as we get through this series, you will see not only the magnificent power of the commander of heaven's armies on display, but you will also have a tangible, practical list of things you can do to fight on the days that you feel stuck in your battle. So let's look at Joshua, because he was a soldier ready for battle. And as the leader of the Israelite people, he took over after Moses. He exemplified, and he taught what it looked like to fight and win spiritual battles. God's spirit was with him in a special way. And so we can emulate his posture before the Lord for our battle. So just who was he? So as I said, he was chosen to lead the Israelites into the promised land when Moses' time came to an end. And what it says about him in scripture is that he was the son of Nun from the tribe of Ephraim. And we first read about him way back in Genesis, when he is sent with a scout from each of the other tribes of the 12 tribes, he's sent to scout out the promised land. Okay. And so they are on mission. So there's these 12 scouts, and the people have just left with Moses. They've had their exodus from Egypt, and they are into the desert, and they come to the promised land, and God promises them that they are going to get this land. And Moses and the people, though, they want to check it out first, and they want to see what they're walking into. So they send these 12 scouts. So while these 12 scouts, Joshua's one of them, while they're in there, not only do they find that indeed it is the land flowing with milk and honey, and there's mammoth clusters of grapes that took multiple grown men to carry on these sticks, they also encounter people that are as big as giants, and towns that are fortified and they're foreboding. And all of these scouts, except for Joshua and Caleb, are terrified. And when they come back, they give a report to the people, and the people are put into this frenzy. They freak out. And only two, Caleb and Joshua, remain strong and calm and trust God. And they try to calm everybody else down, but it doesn't really work. So then the Israelites wander in the desert for 40 years. They let fear of what was standing in front of them, the fear of the size of the battle, they let it stop them from going into the promised land and taking the promise right away. Isn't that interesting? And we just talked about that as a weakness. Fear can cripple us. I mean, just think about this. We're going to pause here. The Israelites had just been rescued from Egypt. They just saw all the plagues. They just watched the Egyptians give them all their possessions, and they walked free. They just experienced the parting of the Red Sea. I would like to think if I was in that situation, I'd be like, my God can do anything. Let's go. And that's how Joshua and Caleb were. But everybody else gets to the promised land, and they see the size of what's in front of them, and they're like, ew. yeah, no thanks. I don't want to fight that. That's too big. That's too scary. They shrank back in fear, stopped them from entering the promised land, but not Joshua. And that just shows us so much about his heart. And I think it's a great opportunity for us to pause and say, Lord, show me where I've let fear rob me of my promise. Where have I let fear come in and keep me from walking into the promise that you have for me? So that's a great moment that you can have with the Lord. So then Joshua's already displayed his trust in God, right? So now it's 40 years later. And here's what happens when the time comes to choose Joshua. The Lord says to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, who has the spirit in him, and lay your hands on him. Present him to the priests before the whole community and publicly commission him to lead the people. Transfer your authority to him so that the community of Israel will obey him. So Joshua was a special man. We know these things about him. Number one, he'd proven his faith and trust in God. And number two, he had the spirit of God in him. And so then Joshua in Deuteronomy 31 is put in charge. And here's what scripture says, verses 7 and 8. Moses called for Joshua, and as Israel watched, he said to him, be strong and courageous. And we're going to spend a lot of time focused on those words. Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the promised land the Lord swore to their ancestors he'd give them. You are the one who will divide it among you as their grants of land. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail nor abandon you. Be strong and courageous. That was the command for Joshua. And that's our challenge as we face our battles too. How do we become strong and courageous in the face of fear and in the face of weariness and in the face of failure and in the face of giants? How do we become strong and courageous? It is possible, friends. And it starts with that power of the Holy Spirit in us. See, that same special spirit that rested on Joshua is in us. If we have a relationship with God, giving us the wisdom and the power to lead. Isn't that amazing? I just love it. And so I just want you, as we close up today's episode, to encourage you to spend a little time with the Lord and say, Lord, show me what in my life, what battle it is that's spiritual. Lord, show me, do I have a weakness in battle? Lord, show me, have I let fear steal any part of this? And then finally, Lord, show me how I can access that Holy Spirit in my life. Lord, because I don't know about you, but for the first part of my life, I did not live according to the Holy Spirit. I had a relationship with God and I still did everything on my own. And the thing about fighting spiritual battles is we don't have what it takes on our own. We need that spirit that rested on Joshua, that Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, we're told in the New Testament, is in us. And it is providing all that we need. And we need that. We need that power. And so for us to be able to dive in and to access that is so important. So friends, I am excited about where we're going and I am believing for breakthrough. See, Joshua was the man who led the Israelites into the promised land to the breakthrough in their battle that they'd been waiting for 40 years. And I know some of you listening have been fighting battles for a really long time. And I just want to give a moment to honor that. And we're all at different places. And there's no judgment for how you feel about your battle right now, how you're doing emotionally about it, but just an encouragement. Take my hand. Walk with me. Believe with me for breakthrough. Let's do the work of getting in the Word and trusting God and calling on the Holy Spirit to fight and get a breakthrough, just like Joshua led the Israelites to breakthrough. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. You are the Lord of heaven's armies, and we bow low before you, and we say, your kingdom come, your will be done. We praise you because victory is yours in the name of Jesus, and we surrender our lives to you. We hand you our battles, and we ask that you, Lord, would lead us, that you would empower us, that you would strengthen us, that you would speak to us, that we might experience breakthrough for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can't wait till next time.
Thanks for listening to the Mint Podcast. More resources are available at amintageisler.com. Let's do this faith journey together.